Hi, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, holy mackerel, it's May 7th. I can't believe it. I thought it was winter time, and it's not. I bet a lot of you are out in the garden. I met a guy from Boston today, and he said that everything has been kind of a wash after the melt of their huge snows, and there was all kinds of stuff all over the roads that snow had collected. So they're having a little bit of a different time than we are over here in California. What's going on in your part of the world? So how many of you listened to Daniel Holloman the other night on Tuesday night? And it's coming up. I think it's on the podcast. I'm not sure. But if it isn't yet, it will be up very shortly. But it is up. That's right. He is an amazing artist. He's a man who uses, you and I use the sacred geometrics in our meditation. He uses those forms and those shapes to really impact the effect of his art. His art is just amazing. I hope some of you went into awakenvisions.com to check out. He's got whole lists of thumbnails of art pieces that he's created with the combination of, I guess, sketches and using the light from the computer sources and his own intuitive self to color things and to bring meaning and mixing the metaphors and the symbols. And oh my goodness, I really love speaking with him before for that show on Tuesday night, and it's a really interesting kind of combination of the use of things that we use on Radiance Design. I'm going to take a caller. This is Veronica Entwistle. I think I said that. Maybe I didn't. You already know that, you listeners, don't you? And I have a caller right now, so let's talk to her before we go into our meditation. Good evening, Aaliyah. How are you, darling?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm fantastic as well. What's going on in your world?
Oh, I'm just kind of doing actually redid my resume recently. I just sort of called to do that. And I'm like, then a bit of magic happened. I was sitting next to somebody who's a resume expert and just helped me with my resume. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, wow.
So, a little magic moment.
And are you, you know, when you finish your, by the time you finish your resume, are you resonating with it? Are you really filling it with light?
Well, that's an interesting thought because I was going to, I had a target with this thing. And it's kind of changed since I started the whole process. So, yeah.
Of course, yeah. That's, you're the artist, girl.
Yeah. It's just an interesting thing to do. I mean, I think it sort of moves energy a little bit. So I think that's its main purpose. And then I was talking to somebody today who really was so much fun to talk to because she really understood what I was talking about. So that's pretty cool. So I noticed that people are kind of changing a little bit, you know, and that's just very interesting to like kind of see it happen.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because you're talking about a resume and you are very, you've got so much light and you've worked with consciousness for so long. And I'm sort of, and I was talking about Daniel Holloman and his art and I was just smiling, thinking, yeah, as you write your resume, you're bringing in more and more frequency, adaptation, or capacities than you ever had before. And that's something to remember.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but yeah, I actually think there's several of us that are deciding to go, kind of go back into the world, to quote the world, so to speak, you know, kind of like this woman today, she says, well, you kind of like St. Francis of Assisi, and I'm like, yeah, I guess so, and you know, this whole thing of really working on things that I feel very guided to do, but don't, you know, belong in the, you know, sort of commercial world in that sense. And having done it for so long and now going back sort of, or contemplating that, not that I actually will. I don't know that this is actually going to end up, you know, working for a company or anything like that. But a lot of the exercises, you know, it brings up stuff. and when it brings up stuff, and, you know, how do I deal with that stuff? So it was kind of an interesting thing that happened the other day.
I was talking to a woman who does a lot of editing and spiritual stuff and so on, and she was saying, she just very similar to what you're saying. She said, you know, I want to get a job in mortgages or something because I'm so much more creative when I'm not always worried about having enough money, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the issue.
And that all depends. It's sort of like the fallback thing, but, you know, I just want something that's actually easy because I'm looking at the whole full gamut. And while I could do some of these jobs, I have been in those kinds of jobs, and it's very hard. Very hard work, and I really want something that's easy and fun, and that, you know, just enables people, you know, and it really empowers people to, you know, step into a higher version of themselves. So that's sort of my focus, you know. So we'll see.
Well, I think there's also a move afoot for more do good projects. I was flipping through my Facebook. You know, I'm not always crazy about Facebook, but there's a lot of Huffington Post coming in, and they're saying 10 of our favorite projects this year, and they were all nonprofit projects and having to do with LGBT, I can't remember the letters, but of that community, having to do with women empowerment. I can't remember all the things, and I'm going, wow, and this is right at Huffington Post. It seems like more of that kind of thing is trying to make itself financially viable. These are all businesses. These were not just ideas, you know.
I think people struggled for years to make that stuff financially viable, and that's the key word with that, because you're trying to take something of a higher frequency and shove it into a space that then becomes, you know, in a lower frequency, which is this whole idea of, you know, viable financially and all that stuff. I'm not criticizing, but I'm just saying that we've been struggling for years to do that, and nobody would want to pay attention to it. But now I think some of the
planet, the temperature's been turned up. The boiling pot's a little bit bubbly here, right? So people are asking questions.
Yeah, that's part of it. But I think on the really deeper thing, it's not really. I don't think you're going to get people to move out of pressure because they just get defensive then and fear based. But it's easy to move people out of joy. So I think that some of the blocks that have been there for years, they're sort of invisible and not visible to people, have been removed, and that I can feel. So there's more people that are will be able to do things, and that means that. Well, the message I got in the beginning of 2013 was, now it's going to get fun. And that didn't happen.
Now it's going to get what?
Ahead of the fun. Oh, it's going to get fun. But that was ahead of time, like a lot of this stuff is, you know, like some of my ideas of how this could transform will only happen when the frequency is right. So the frequency has to be of that level for it to be really take root. It's kind of like planting a seed in rock. You know, it won't work. You know, you can't plant a seed in rock very easily. But if you plant it in the right ground, which is the right frequency, then the seed can grow and, you know, be nourished.
I think that's right. And I do think things are happening on the planet. And things are happening in so many people's consciousness, and maybe some people will go back into work. I want to go into the geometric structure, because I want to talk about a project that I learned about today, but I think someone's going to phone in and talk about it. And it's an example of how people are taking action these days. So why don't we do the meditation first, and then we'll see if my friend Judy calls in. But I'm glad you called, Aaliyah. It's always wonderful to hear from you.
That's fun.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Have a great night.
You too. So for everybody, let's take a few minutes and do our meditation. And I want you to pay a lot of attention to the geometrics, because when we do them, have you noticed you actually feel them? And like I was talking about Daniel's artistry, I go, and you notice when you look at those ones, you actually feel the impact of the shapes and the colors and so on, just like we want to do with our meditation, because what we want to do is really radiate into the world that other people feel lifted and feel more possible, because your presence is a contribution. Hey, your presence is a present. Okay, so let's call in. Above your head, about 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. Good. Now, from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop your three-sided, gold pyramid. And upside down, with this point going into the lower golden ball, another three-sided pyramid. Push the two together. You've got yourself a big diamond shape, don't you? Called the double tetrahedron. And the feeling in that diamond shape, as you feel yourself inside of it, is palpable. You can really feel the vibration. Most of you can. And then inside of that, you want to create a crystal ball. It's radiant, shimmering. Yeah, and that crystal ball nudges the inside edges of your big diamond, your tetrahedron. And inside of that crystal ball, which is more the feminine energy, see yourself in a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. Now pay attention to the Star of David, because we're going to play with it a bit later. And have it spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. I mean, really spin it. And as you spin and spin in it, you look in front of you and there are some screens, magical screens, and we're going to create some movies on it. The first screen, the first movie, is what you want to become in this life. And I want to become consciously multidimensional, I always say that. But I want to become also consciously aware of the frequencies that I'm experiencing, transforming, and radiating out into the world as a contribution. Because if we can radiate out at a higher level, or consciously at a higher level, we literally lift all kinds of people, and they're much more possible. So then when you feel like whatever it is you want to become is established or beginning to be established in your vision on this magical screen, wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And then on the second screen, you're creating something that you want to create. It could be a home and family. It could be a friendship. It could be a world travel. It could be a book, a movie. It could be a piece of art. It could be a mountain climb. It could be a piece of equipment that's going to help balance out some of the big vibrational doodah that is going on. Let's see yourself bring all the resources that are going to come together. The time, the money, back to your thing, Aaliyah, the money to support your project, flowing to you just beautifully until your project is getting going. That's right. And now you see your project really perking away there, and it's becoming very successful. See that. And feel it. I can feel it pulsing in my hands right now. Can you? And then once you see it happening, then I want you to see all the resources coming to sustain your project. Keep it going for as long as it's natural life. That's right. So you've got all those projects and all those resources that you need. Good. And just give yourself a high five because you're such a success. Wrap that in light. Move it over to the side. And now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. And in the Galactic Healing Center, there we have a beautiful healing table. And we're going to surround that table with your healing team. We all have a great group of consciousnesses out there on our way to source, or accessing source. They're accessing source as well, and intelligences of all types. And you've got some great healers there. So have them stand around your healing team, stand around the table that beautiful healing table, and you come in and you pop yourself up on the table and lie down. Mm-hmm. This is your healing team. In my case, this is my healing team. And ask them to help you with something in particular. Yeah, what is it you want them to help you with? And if you don't know, ask them what you need help with. Good. There we go. And then what is it they do? Sometimes they whisper in your ear. Sometimes they tell you things point blank. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know what I'm feeling this time? A really interesting movement of a certain kind of energy through my body. And it's making my body kind of pulse and bounce around as they shift some way that I've been patterning leftover reactions and so on, and moving it out of my body. What are they doing for you? And you can call in a while and tell me, hey? Okay, now wrap that in light and move it over to the side. Now we have a fresh healing table. Now we're going to talk to a special woman tonight who is going through a lot. She's got some terrible acid reflux. And she's a new friend. I don't really know her, but we kind of know her through this magical world that we're in right this moment. And we have her in on the table. She's a little shy. Say, come on into the table and then lie down. And we'd like her to lie on her back, because the healing team is saying she needs to lie on her back. And they're putting their hands on her head. Those of them that have hands, who's in your healing team? Take a look around. Are they interesting? Are they all humanoids? Okay, so they've got their hands on her head. That's it. And now they have their hands on her feet and on her head. And there's a tremendous bunch of energy running up through her feet, all the way up through her legs, and her feminine organs. And now we're going right into the gastrointestinal system. Her acid reflux is excruciating. But you know, to my new friend, I want to say, it's not just your acid reflux. You have tremendous pain running throughout your body. We're bringing in another person with pain in a few minutes. But you have tremendous pain running out throughout your body. And I want to say to you, there's a tremendous number of feelings that you've got jammed into various parts of your body. I don't know whether you were hit a lot as a very small person, but when I look through your body and the guides are doing their healing work, you have so much. You got to see yourself as a vibrational vehicle of light. And what they're wanting to do is smooth throughout your body a lot of these energies that are kind of doubled up or pooled up or holding back. Something that you're eating, ingesting, it might be pharmaceuticals or something, is sitting in an absolute frozen knot in the upper part of your intestinal area. And there's a tremendous loss in the solar plexus. Solar plexus, or stomach area, is your personal power. What kind of power would you say was your personal power? What were you born with? And then something has happened. Okay, I see what it is. Something has happened to punch you in that center, which is like if your personal identity is very much associated with someone and that someone steps away, you'll find you have a hole in your stomach because your identity is being torn, right? Absolutely torn. And you have a lot of, see, we're moving some energy here, and your healing team is as well. You have a lot of childhood abuse issues that are trying to resolve themselves. And what's really interesting is we're talking about acid reflux. We're talking about the ways that you digest life experiences is very, very frightened. You're a powerful woman, and yet you're very afraid. You're very intelligent, and yet you're very, very afraid because the underpinning in you is one of being basically skitterish and scared of the people around you. You're hypersensitive, or you're extremely sensitive. It's a brilliant sensitivity. And the people around you have not regarded that as if it was the gold it is. So here we go. We're going through, good. We're going through your solar plexus. And then we're moving up into, I'm working along with your healing team here. And then we're going to move right into the chest area. Good. Now you'll notice when we get into the chest area, your neck really hurts. That's right. Oof. And we want to go right up through the neck. And then right up into the head. That's interesting for everybody at home. Is she's got, and many of you have, she's got a lot of body pain, and it's in the stomach area, and it's in the back area. But we're saying, remember, your neurotransmissions, most of them are created, first of all, in your intestinal tract. And that has a huge, if you've your intestinal tract full of childhood pain and doubt of the people around you, which is what keeps happening to you, your brain and your intestinal tract are working back and forth with certain kinds of pains. When I say that, they bounce around for me, and I want to help them. I want to move them. Quite often, giving things motion is going to move pains. There you go. And some of the medications you're on will kind of freeze things in place. It's as if, you know, if you get a shot of, an anesthetic, then it freezes the way things are at the time. So your pain is dulled for a while. But what happens is you've got high-frequency energies that can heal you. And these are low-frequency energies which are caged and densified in a certain area, and then you can feel you can't digest. Yeah, I know that. So that's just a start. There's so much more. Your little body likes this, so there's a little soft action going on. And we're going right in one more time, and the healing team is saying you need to sort out more of the feelings. There you are. Of who you are. You're a kind, kind person. Very loving and very frightened. And people have taken advantage of you, not once, but many times. And a part of you kind of offers that up. And we're suggesting that you get a little bit cranky about it periodically and pull yourself away in order to sort out some of these feelings. The pain should abate in a short while. And we're saying, remember, for the kind of pain she has, some aloe vera juice and very gentle kinds of food for a little while. Do the aloe vera juice, let it do its magic. And that's a starter. And the guidance is saying, just wrap that in light, wrap it in light. And now we're going to put a fresh table up. And they're bringing in a couple. And both members of the couple are in pain and in poverty. And that's a bad combination. Hurting and poor. Who wants to do that? And so this couple, side by side, I'm bringing in another couple of people as well. People who are hurting physically, like my friend who was, but we were working an extra special job on her right now because it's very dire for her. So we now have four tables here, and if you feel like any of what we're talking about is relevant to you, then allow yourself to feel the energy moving through your body. Now we have teams replicating themselves around all four tables. Okay. And the woman, there's a woman here who has tremendous energy clogging up in her belly area, the second chakra. It's everybody else's influence. And this is a woman who's had a lot of pain for a long time. And we're saying that the good thing about that is she's beginning to bring up more of the belly action. So instead of having a lot of pain, she is beginning to digest. This is following suit with the first woman. she's beginning to digest some of the information that comes up and throwing away the pieces you don't like. There we go. And that there's something about your bones and your neck that needs a little more work here. There we go. And then your husband, we're looking at him, and he's very dejected. And I want to say to you that your leg that's been hurt, you have... Okay, can you ask her to wait a minute? And the pain that you're feeling in your right leg, I believe it's the right leg, is really, there's a feeling in you, this wonderful man, that you're not getting anywhere no matter what you do. And that financially, it's like you have a hole in your stomach as well. There's a grief and there's a striving for being a powerful and successful male and a huge loss, feeling it's not possible. We assure you it's very possible. But we want to see the energies moving so that instead of it being permanent that way, you find the energies of loss moving through you, rushing through you with their own natural streamlined motion. Streamlined is a good word because that sort of implies a stream, a jet stream, right? And now we're going to wrap you in light, and we're putting two more people who have pain of different types. And in both, one of them has it on the back of the neck and the base of the spine, and it's coming through the jaw as well. And it's very, very difficult. We're saying as the healing team works on you, it's difficult because the ability to hold your jaw shut has been a very, very powerful tool of self-protection most of your life, even though you're well into adulthood. So we're asking you, as you lie there and the teams are working on you, to ask yourself to flex that jaw and let the energy, you don't have to say, I can't stand this person. You just need to open and shut and let that energy out, because it's your jaw's clamped. They don't want the energy of vulnerability and self-expression. They don't want it to come through. They're trying to protect you from its release. We're saying to you, it doesn't work that way anymore. Probably has worked that way in certain states of drama. There we go. Good. And now, and move your throat. Each one of you out there, move your necks a little bit, because many of you are holding down the front of the neck, down where the neck goes into the clavicle. You're holding tightly there. And it's a bottleneck, isn't it? So I want you to drop in there. Good. And now, and this one, I'm moving again the back. Good. And your healing team is working with your legs and your belly and your forehead and the top of your head. And we're letting that all be wrapped with light. We move it away. And there's this other one who's got tremendous pain in her legs, in the knees, and a feeling of... decrepitude. This is another one who's had no real support in her life, no real support as she takes chances on who she could become. And we're saying, okay, you have support, because here we are, the healing team, here we are invisible. Here we are surrounding you, loving you, being with you, lifting you, honoring you. And now wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And then I think what we'll do is close off the healing team, because there's someone who's waiting online. We're going to close off the healing center right now and move it over to the side. And we'll do a little more meditation later. So we have a caller. Good evening, Judy.
Hi, Veronica. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
We know that.
Thank you. There's a couple of things. Thank you for doing that for Darcy. She is not able to call in because she's having a difficult time talking tonight. It's very painful, as you know. And so she did have a couple of questions she wanted me to ask. She is listening, though.
Oh, hi, Darcy. Everybody's sending you light tonight. I hope you feel it.
Oh, I'm sure she is. Yeah, she's pretty intuitive herself. So, but anyway, she wanted to know, let me grab her questions here, and then I'll talk about Elvis here in a minute. Well, she wanted to know about Ray and what concerns, let's see, like the financial, like her current financial situation. Could you have a look at that and see?
She has her own business?
Yeah, she does. She's an artist.
But it's really interesting because as soon as we looked at her financial situation, I started burping like mad. And that's really funny because for everybody at home, all that means is that she's got concealed in her belly and her solar plexus some very interesting attitudes about money. And what we're saying is that there's an insecurity in her, but she has the potential to really, really be quite amazing financially. She really has that potential, but she has a lot of belief structure that she can't. And that there's a change coming up right around the corner, like burp, where she's going to sort of strike out, strike out with a new, it may not be that she's changed her art, but it's like a new direction, a new style of doing it. And that's going to give her wings. But I'll have to say this, only if you let yourself put those wings on. Because a part of you, when you're feeling in pain and you're feeling so weighed down by a lot of the medications and so on, it's hard to feel like you can fly. But I have to say, you're friends with Judy, I know that some of you beings who aren't used to it yet can really fly, and you're one of those. You have the ability to just turn your business around a corner and really bubble it in a way that makes you happy. And it will help reduce your pain in itself. And once again, we want you to get to someone who will do body work on your vertebrae because they're out of whack, girl. Out of whack, I say. Does she have any more questions?
And if you saw her artwork, yeah, she has a couple more real quick ones. If you saw her artwork, you would know how spot on you are. She is probably one of the most incredible artists I've had the pleasure to work with. Her company is Sweet Banana Berry. She, in fact, I told you about
Sweet
her
Banana Berry. I love that.
Sweet Banana Berry. No, I love it. And her and her granddaughter have Days of Extinction. And her granddaughter, who is another coming up to be an incredible artist herself, developed this company with her. I think she's around in your grandson's age as well. And anyway. Beautiful artwork, and this is to help animals that are going the extinction, to help save them. So she also wanted to know about Ray and what he's tortured about.
Yeah, he first of all, he's got his own childhood trauma thing. Something happened when he was in his early 20s as well. So he has an anxiety that keeps hitting him, and it's hard for him to stay. Really, he's fine, and he's fine, and then all of a sudden he hits this anxious place. He wasn't in, like, Vietnam or anything, was he?
I actually think he was.
Yeah, because there's something in there that's just like a PTSD trauma thing, and that makes it really hard, but she's vulnerable for him to be able to put up with it. I feel like he doesn't even know all this about himself, you know? We're peeking into him behind his back. Good grief.
Right.
And I think he'll come back again. But the problem is that there's a problem, you see? And
yeah,
if she could remember
that
and be patient with the fact he's gone, it would make it easier for them to find solutions. But she's got to find solutions for herself first. This is not funny, the pain she's in.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Anyway, we better get on to the next thing or else I'll have to, yeah.
Okay. Well, the other thing, which is brilliant. Absolutely love it. Is my friend Elvis Summers.
Okay, and Elvis Summers.
Elvis Summers, like, you know, Elvis. Anyway, Elvis is a young man in his 30s, and there was this homeless woman sleeping literally in the dirt outside of his home. And so he goes outside and he builds her this adorable little house. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And anyway, she moves in, and it has, there's even a little sign that says home sweet home on the door. I mean, it's literally this little house that she can sleep in. And so, of course, this turns into this huge thing now. He's been, it's called, I believe, this is not confirmed, but you can find him on Facebook under Elvis Summers.
Okay.
And anyway, he's been featured on in People magazine. He's had over 40 million views on his Facebook already.
Wow.
AOL has done an interview. And this is brilliant. The city of Los Angeles donated, I believe it was 10,000 square feet of land for him to build more of these homes to help the homeless.
Wonderful.
Do you love it or what? And this is a young man in his 30s.
And didn't you say he raised money on GoFundMe?
Yes, he raised money on GoFundMe, and I believe it's currently at about 60,000 right now.
Great. And his name is Elvis Summers?
Elvis Summers.
The article says, man builds a tiny house for a homeless woman and made a big impact. It looks very, very interesting. Oh, my goodness, it started to play. I was... Sorry, I got it started.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, I just hit the middle of the screen, I think. But anyway, he's absolutely wonderful. I hope to inspire... other people to begin these projects in their. I have a long history with homeless myself, and it's a place that is deep in my heart. I think we turn our backs. I mean, here we're supposed to be the wealthiest country in the world, and yet we have people, you know, putting children to bed without food and without shelter and whatnot. So it always questioned why. So, you know, God bless Elvis is all I got to say. For starting
I think
a program
that's
like
wonderful.
This.
Yeah, and his article is on www.aol.com article, Man Builds Tiny House. So it's easy for you to track it down. But also, I really love that. We had we brought up an interview with a fellow named Kelly Hart, who is making houses out of leftover paper and all kinds of things, in some called earth bag homes. He's got all kinds of alternative homes made out of, I guess, whatever resources are there, whether it's dirt or paper or whatever. And this fellow, and there was another one up on Facebook recently as well. I think we should all get behind that because many people want to do stuff, even container houses, eh? So bless Elvis Summers, and I thank you so much for bringing that up because it's a big, big, powerful subject.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. And thank you for giving that to all your listeners.
Yeah, and maybe what we'll do is interview him for Paradigm Shifters if I can find him, if he's not so busy
already
right now.
Already ahead of you.
What?
I'm already ahead of you. I already sent him a message this evening.
Oh, good. Oh. Okay. Well, Judy, thank you so much. And Darcy, thank you for being brave because your life could just bloom in a short while. Well, yeah, a short while. You have to choose the steps. And I know you can do this. So thanks for calling, Judy.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. We'll talk soon.
You bet. So isn't that wonderful? Now, here's another thing about raising the... I have a funny story. I had to do... I don't know how many of you have Nexus for getting over the border, really easy Canadian-American border, or Sentry, I think it is, for the American-Mexican border. And then there's a thing called GOES, which is Global Entry. And there's... Okay, so I, being a Canadian and coming up with a birthday... all kinds of my documents are all coming due. They all have to be upgraded and checked out. So I ended up going today down to the GOES department, which is the global entry people, to get signed in and take my ID and so on, and ended up having to wait 3 hours in a lineup. And the first thing that happened is, and this is going into radiance and frequencies and so on, first thing that happened was this fellow, big, tough-looking guy in a uniform, I told him that I didn't have an appointment like some of the people did, but I was there because, and he said, you were supposed to do this online. I said I was doing it online, but there was a glitch because some of my numbers have changed because I got a new passport 5 years ago or something. And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Go up to the back of the line. And I felt like a little kid. I felt like crying. It reminded me of second grade or something. So I went over way out of the way, and I was just doing a ho'oponopono, you know. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I thank you, and I love you. And I was kind of feeling embarrassed and very small, but I kept doing that over and over again. And then all of a sudden, he said to me, hello, you over there, bring me your stuff. So I took him my materials. And then he was really nice. He checked my materials and he said, well, you're already a member of this. But what was interesting, all the way through this scenario, really, really harsh and really tough and very scary. And then I just kept right on chanting inside myself, trying not to whine and complain, feel sorry for myself, and just really take it in, like as Joe Vitale, when he's talking about ho'oponopono, says there's no out there. Everything is inside of ourselves. And I know, and you know, and he knows that if we raise our fields and frequency, change the energy, change the reality. So there I was at the LAX airport amidst a whole bunch of chaos standing because there's nowhere to sit, although I finally sat on the floor. But I changed my reality. And when another fellow finally called me, he said, hey, you, come in here. I said, me? He said, yeah, you, come here. I hear you're really nice. I said, oh, really? Thank you. Anyway, I got the whole thing and everything was done just perfectly, but I felt like I was playing really well with radiances and fields and frequency during that whole 3.5 hour episode. So I thought, oh, I'm going to share that tonight. And the guy who looked so mean and tough was very sweet and was waving and smiling when I left. And there was very little exchange, except when I say exchange, we were exchanging fields and frequency, weren't we? And the other thing I want to remind you about is when we're talking about our fields, sometimes what happens is people, I heard a story about somebody who was blaming somebody else for having energy that pulled him down, okay? Now, we all know what that's like, right? But if you look at this other guy's energy, he had a lot of dissension inside of himself. He had a lot of questions inside of himself. He has a lot of crankiness. He has a lot of insecurities. So one guy's energy was a little heavy, and because he was concentrating on something and he was very worried about it and blah, blah, whatever the reasons are. And then this other guy who was blaming him for holding his frequency down was full of all these contradictory energies. And I noticed, because I'm peering at them as I'm hearing this story, and I'm going, how interesting it is. Because when you are wanting to work with your fields and frequency and you get blindsided by somebody whose energy weighs you down, one of the things we're wanting to learn is to, instead of going down under his or her energy fields, you want to go into yourself, and you can use ho'oponopono or other things, but you want to send back an uplifting field and frequency. Don't leave yourself in a state of confusion or victimization, because empathy goes two ways. It's not just sucking in what is already there. It's also being able to consciously, it's like being in an ocean or being swimming, I guess, eh? It's like consciously being able to kick your feet so your energy goes up and the other person is lifted. So I thought that was quite a good bit of information. So what's going on in your lives? How about calling in again? I'd love to hear some more calls from you. So we're going to look also at a few of the people that we were talking to out there. People are, you know, the guides have been talking about how things are pretty dire on the planet, okay? And the thing that we have heard about, and this was sort of intriguing when I was channeling recently, and you know how people like Lazarus, channels like Lazarus and many others will say that we've all come here on the planet because this is a revisitation of the end times of Atlantis. And three times Atlantis, that huge, often mythical community or country, had disappeared three different times, or it ended three different times, and a lot of us were there. So one of the things that's intriguing that the guides were saying, because I'm saying, well, it gets pretty scary out there, and we're trying to raise our fields and frequency, and sometimes, I don't know how you feel, but sometimes that doesn't feel like we're doing quite enough. Because there's a lot of wars going on, and there's a great lot of human suffering going on out there. And I know if you raise your fields and frequency above it, you don't necessarily experience any of that. But you see what I'm trying to say is sending the fields and frequency out there. And just before I take my next caller, I just want to say one of the things that the guides were talking about is if many people pass, if many people transit over the next while, I'm not saying it's going to happen. They're just saying here's something that people are afraid of or whatever. I'm saying that as you work on that inner dissonance, or those feelings of fear, frustration, self-hatred, confusion, or in the Catholic realm, we used to call it the seven deadly sins: pride, possession, thieving, you know, all those stuff, hatred and all that stuff. You work on that. It's all about me inside. There's no out there. It's all about me. But he was saying, the guides, when I was channeling, was saying that one of the greatest gifts we can do is be moving our inner energy in such a way that instead of a whole collective bunch of people resonating with the end times, if you will, we're individually moving, we're conquering a lot of those deeper feelings inside, and the opportunity is to move into a little more of an enlightening space, even if you've left the planet. Does that make any sense? I know we have a caller. If it doesn't make sense, call when my caller's done. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I sure can. How are you?
Well, what you just said is it totally makes sense. And I've just started also doing Hono Onopono like within the past couple of days. And I've done it in the past, and it's worked really well. So
yeah, it's wonderful. Tell us how it works. What I mean is, have you got some examples?
Not yet, but I know that it works, and I can't recall any of the examples from the past. It seems like I can't remember much from the past, because when it's over and it's done, it's done. But
good
I do know that, yeah, I do know that it works. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what I'm doing when something comes up, then I start channeling it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the mantra. But what's
isn't
going
it
on
wonderful? I love it, don't you? It's simple. It's portable.
Yeah, and to know that it works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like something that you can grab onto when things feel like they're going out of control. So
you betcha.
It's a good tool to have. I'm going through a lot of grief, and I guess, I don't know, maybe Ho'oponopono would help me through that, but it just... it's really weighing me down. I've had three people in the past year pass away that were very, very important to me. And so what I've gone into is just kind of numb.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Do my guides have anything to say about that, or do you?
Yeah,
or?
You know what's really, really... What's your name, Becca? Rebecca? Is that
correct.
Your name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, welcome. So what I'm seeing here is, and the guides are saying that remember this, that one of the most transformative reactions we have as people, as human beings, is grief. Not just human beings, animals too. And that what that means is that there, when you lose someone really close to you, you know this, that you lose a part of yourself. A part of yourself is gone because that part of your identity no longer functions that way. And so it's a really deep loss, literally loss, as you know. And we're watching you, and they're saying that you're coming up with a new level of wisdom, and something about wisdom. You're very wise anyway, but there's a new level of wisdom coming from this experience, and it's really going to help you step forward in a different way. It's not your plan when you're grieving, but that's what's going to be the outcome of it. And you're going to have a tremendous ability to, it's like, I don't know what kind of work you do. What kind of work do you do? Because it looks like your work is going to change, sort of shift a little, and you're going to be lifting people in groups to handle things in a different way. What kind of work do you do now, Rebecca?
Well, I kind of just do jobs, not really a career. So I'm doing things as far as customer service. I'm helping out at a big stadium where they have events. Organizing in the command center, they call it, and but before that, I was in high tech software development.
Well, I think this, because the guides are showing that you're going to find yourself emerging from this period of grief, and you're numb right now, and that's because it hurts too much to let all the feelings up yet. You know, they'll start coming up one at a time, and you'll probably even cry more and so on. But all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself on a slightly different track, and you'll turn the corner, and you're going to work with groups of people. I would suggest it's a kind of a service, an uplifting, kind of a healing service thing that you'll do. And you're going to really like it. And you don't have to hurry. It's going to come to you. And it requires a little bit of a course, a little bit of a program. And I think you're going to pinpoint that it came from this incredible triangle of losses. I think one of them was quite shocking, right? Was it?
Yes. Yes, my friend Gary was pretty shocking. And we have a whole history of past life experience and stuff together. So, yeah, that was pretty shocking.
Mm-hmm. Because my chest hurts with you when you mention that. So the and do you hear from him?
Not yet. No, not really.
He's an interesting person. But what I see is that you will find that you're going to reformat your whole future, and you might find yourself, is one of them your mom? Was one of them an older woman?
Well, my mom actually did die less than 2 years ago, and this lady who just died 2 weeks ago was like an adopted mom. She took me in like when I was 18 years old, and so, yeah, she's the one that taught me, you know, how to do family and all sorts of stuff.
You know what this is like. She's she is more the feminine archetype than your own mom, right? For you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or we could call her the transformed feminine archetype. So there's something in you that's going to be amazingly different as a result of this experience, which we've already said, but somehow the effect that she's had on you is what you're going to take into the world in a different way. You're also very spiritual, so you're going to really have that going with the archetype of the mom, if you will. I think you're going to do healing work, girl. Do you study healing?
No, but in my jobs that I've had recently, I end up helping people through things. So, yes, I'm a convenience worker, but so many people pass by me that I help, that, you know what I mean? We show up at a place and we're there for a totally different reason than what we get paid for.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, I do know what you mean. But that's something that requires a certain kind of faith, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so I see that a lot where I help people and, So my goal is by the end of the year to have some big stuff wrapped up, such as getting my apartment in order and getting my physical health back because I'm having problems with my Achilles tendon. And do the guides have anything to say about that?
Now, that's really interesting because the Achilles tendon, and this is for people at home as well, that the Achilles heel, as you know, is what brought Achilles down. Right. So
right.
it's the part of you that will, it has to see those deaths have done this too, stop you in your tracks. And mm-hmm. why? Because you're going to be turning direction. You're going to be shifting your direction. I think that, have you done acupuncture? There's three things you need to do. One is to look at all the feelings that you're sublimating or denying in yourself. Is it on the right side?
Correct.
Yeah. Because there's something that you're... It's okay, I can barely say it only because I go numb in my head. So it's something you're denying in yourself that knows you need to do things differently. You need to go differently. And it's stopping you from continuing the way you're going. It's not going to be that long, but I want you to feel whatever feeling you can bring up, you know. Like if it hurts more, stop and go, what am I feeling right now? And sometimes you're feeling mad. Sometimes you're feeling a bit bitter. Sometimes you're feeling a bit resistant. You got a whole little litany of things that are in that. And I would call them up one at a time and feel them, even if they're embarrassing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Pull them up. I have an ankle that goes out, and it's not till I really get that I'm insecure about something can I release that pain. But you normally wouldn't know I had anything wrong with my ankle just when that hits that emotional thing. And so I'm watching you going, wow, you are going to learn so much. You're going to be very proud of yourself. So this Achilles heel is good for you right now.
Thank you so much, sweetie. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. And you're just going to have to report back, aren't you?
I will. Ho'oponopono.
You can ho'oponopono for me any old day. Thank you. Keep going. And do
okay,
that heal.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Annie. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, gosh, it's been a very lively show tonight, and I really have enjoyed the broad spectrum, thinking about the tiny homes, thinking about the sacred geometrics, thinking about, energizing and putting light in resumes and all the healing work we did. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Tune into my website. Let me know how you are, who you are. Hit the Ask Veronica button. Tell me which guests you'd like to see, or if you want to have a session with me and my guides and angels, or just whatever, listen to the podcast. Good night, everyone. Many blessings and much love.